Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Your leadership narrative is, I think, really critical because it allows people to understand how you're going to most often react or manage a situation if you're able to convey your leadership narrative.
Welcome to the Warrior You podcast, proudly presented by Hindsight Leadership and Resilience. The Warrior You podcast delves deep into the topics of leadership, resilience, and human optimization. Our mission statement is simple. You're the mission. A massive shout out to our main sponsor, gym equipment specialist Aussie Strength, a proud Australian veteran-owned business who have kitted out home garage gyms and huge fitness centres all over Australia and globally. This week on the Warrior You podcast, Bram continues his talk with Lieutenant Colonel Trent Bernard on leadership in the Army, training, structures and situations. In this episode, the pair focuses on the values that leadership in the Army should instill, the competency of soldiers themselves, understanding who you are as a leader, and the relationships between leaders within the Army structure. So sit back and enjoy Season 2, Episode 3 of the Warrior You podcast.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the second week of leadership of a platoon. Last week we talked about the platoon sergeant and the soldiers. There's been great feedback from that podcast. And so joining me here again today is Lieutenant Colonel Bernard. He's also a mate of mine. On Tuesdays I call him sir, but every other day I call him mate. So we're going to talk about the company commander today, and in particular that relationship for a young platoon commander and how he or she should sort of approach that relationship. I don't have any platoon commanders in the Western Australian University Regiment in my company. I've got a whole lot of sergeants and corporals. But how, when you were a company commander, how did you see that relationship with a platoon commander, and how did they see that relationship? More importantly,
every position I believe is a leadership position, and with leadership, there's an absolute importance on the development and mentoring of your subordinates. And this is particularly true of lieutenants in that subunit environment. So the relationship between the lieutenant and the OC is, I think, one of critical importance, because the platoon commanders really are the keys to getting the subunit command's mission achieved. And it's important for the OC to make sure that the lieutenants are up to the job, up to job standard, are leading well themselves, and are developing towards the next level. If you have a high-performing lieutenant who's able to operate at that level, then they're actually leading their platoon quite strongly.
Yeah, and so opportunities versus expectation.
It's a balance. It's situationally dependent, I think. That there will always be the opportunities within a company commander's expectations of that, of a platoon commander.
Yeah.
But also if the tempo is not quite as busy, then you should always be seeking the opportunities to develop those platoon commanders in other ways, and that might be part of the ACOTC or deployment opportunities or something along those lines. Mm. But certainly, there's going to be levels of expectation where a company commander is just going to say you need to get on with the job, and your team and your professional competence, your technical competence, is what gets you through.
There's some synergies or some comparable notions around leadership from the company commander and the CEO of a business, and the way that they would talk to department heads, for instance. There is a massive cultural gap between a lieutenant and a major company commander. I saw that less in, because two commando regiments, platoon commanders, captains, there was a big gap between the captains and the majors, but not as much as there was between a lieutenant and a captain, for instance, inside an infantry company. It's a very different world, the world of SF. But those cultural gaps are quite interesting in the way that we develop a lieutenant.
Yeah, some would say, you know, that the opportunity presents itself to develop those junior leaders far more quickly rather than experiential learning. Say, for an example, a police force, for instance, where their commissioned officers aren't 21 years or 22 years of age. They've come up through the ranks and gone from sergeant or senior sergeant and then into the commissioned ranks. So you get that similarity between what you're describing in the business community where a junior, let's call them a junior commissioned officer, is, you know, almost as experienced as the rank above. And like you said, that's not the case. I think there's positives and negatives to both models, but it's my opinion that this model works for us and particularly in a battalion environment.
Yeah, I agree. And the company sergeant major, you know, that how is that relationship fostered with a platoon commander and a CSM? What does that look like? And what should a platoon commander be looking for?
I think that's, ideally you want a relationship that's just that, you know, obviously by virtue of rank, it's that step up from the platoon sergeant where you're looking at potentially resolving or getting advice to resolve more complex issues, organisational issues, across either the subunit or the battalion. There's a lot of experience there, obviously, and, a good CSM can provide outstanding advice to a platoon commander who's willing to listen and accept that advice.
Yeah, and at the extreme end, a CSM could have another 5 to 10 years experience on the platoon sergeant that platoon commander has. So,
without a doubt, my current experience with CSMs in the army at the moment is they are extremely proficient in what they do. Mm. It's highly competitive. And the CSMs are of such good quality that it would be remiss of you if you didn't take their advice on board. They're very, very smart individuals.
Yeah. Or build a relationship. And I've seen that myself recently, where there's a lot more academic rigor pushed into the WO2 ranks. So CSMs have a lot more academic background as well now to lean on them, probably more than what they've ever had before. We're going to get on to a little bit about values, I think, might be worth covering as a leader of a platoon. So your own values and those values of the army and the values of the ADF. Yeah, it wasn't a question. I just made a statement. So, you know, around positivity, integrity, attitude, balance of humility. I really liked what we talked about as well with your personal brand, like who are you as a leader? I think that's
I think personal brand's really important. I think possibly junior officers don't give that much of a thought, and that probably is something that is missing to some extent. The personal brand, and what I mean by that is how you're perceived. You know, are you looked at as being mature? Are you serious about the work that you do, and you know, how do you convey yourself? Are you a professional in not just your actions but your words and your behaviors? And you know, no longer is it appropriate to conduct yourself as if you're a third year uni student, and right. You know, and it just does not engender any level of trust or expectation if you don't remain conscious of your brand.
Because you could end up on operations. Next thing you know, you're in Afghanistan and you haven't been working on that brand. No one takes you seriously.
For sure. And this is a serious profession.
Yeah. Your why, leadership narrative. Do you think that's important to work out a leadership narrative other than your brand, but how you're going to lead, what you're going to be known for?
Yeah, without a doubt, it's really important. And you know, at a more senior level, you might call that the command philosophy. But your leadership narrative is I think really critical, because it allows people to understand how you're going to most often react or manage a situation if you're able to convey your leadership narrative. You know, I read in the Military Leader that most people can, with confidence and without thinking too hard about it, remember how they met their wife or their husband. Mm. You know, that's a story that you can tell anyone at the drop of a hat.
Mm.
And I think with a level of self-reflection, you should be able to tell someone what it is that makes you the type of leader that you are and why you are that type of leader.
Wow.
And how you feel about certain things will influence you as a leader and how and what your expectations and priorities are. So, you know, understanding your narrative, what makes it who you are and how you lead, takes some self-reflection. I think that's really important for an officer.
Wow, that's really deep. I'm not even sure I could nail an elevator pitch of myself as a leader, my leadership narrative. I'd have to sit there and really think about it. I know it's wrapped up in serving the nation. I have a certain feeling about the nation, and also development of others. I know that's definitely inside my leadership narrative. I like to develop other people, but I also like combat, fighting, winning, and a platoon is an extension of that, fighting as is a company, as is a battalion, as is an army. So yeah, it's a really interesting question, actually. And I guess that's, you've got that there in the notes. We had your motivation to lead and serve in the army. Like, why are you doing that? Yeah.
Absolutely.
The next part we're going to get onto before we wrap up this week's is technical competency. Oh, I love this. Doctrine, application of knowledge. You know, that's just so important to actually understand the army system and the army doctrine.
Yeah, and of course, that varies at the levels that you're operating at, and but you know, every junior officer needs to understand their doctrine and not pay lip service to it. There's more than enough quotes about, you know, military leaders not actually understanding their doctrine, and that's why it's so hard to fight certain armies, because they don't read their doctrine and those sorts of things. I certainly have seen a significant change in the time that I've been in the army around junior officers, you know, field rank officers, reading and understanding and being able to discuss doctrine in detail. That has certainly changed in the time that I've been in the army.
Yeah.
And so that is a good thing, and that represents a change from my perspective in the professionalism of serving in the profession of arms.
Yeah. Willingness to seek to improve, as well as stretch opportunities to professionally develop. And I think that's wrapped up inside it. You know, just seeking those that technical competency. It's not just knowledge. It's not just proficiency of weapons. The main weapon that you have as a platoon commander is your platoon. People forget that. That is actually your weapon. And so understanding how to employ that, understanding, you know, having one foot on the ground, maneuver, understanding mission command, understanding how to interpret strategic guidance. Something General McChrystal said recently really resonated with me, and I wish I'd had it when I was a platoon commander to tell to my platoon, and that is it's about me too. So you'd say this about me, gang, so just listen. If I've given you a mission and that mission is wrong, then change the mission. So what General McChrystal was saying there is, when he talks to his troops, if he gives them a mission, it was the right mission at the time because of the information presented in front of him and the stimulus coming in. If you get out on the ground and something's different and therefore the mission had to change, and you know that's the mission I would have given you, then change that mission. And I think that that is all about being agile in the army as a platoon commander, is being able to build the trust so much in your sections that if you've given them a mission and they get out there and things have all changed, they'd know what you'd say to do next and they'll do it.
Yeah, that comes down to really genuinely understanding the one and two up intent. If you understand that, you can operate within that left and right of arc and still achieve the commander's intent. That's the important bit. The other thing I wanted to add about technical competence is, and you know, I'm careful not to just talk to doctrine and the combat aspects. There's a lot around technical competence that we probably overlook, and certainly at that early stage, and that's, you know, understanding your assets, resource, and managing resources and those sorts of things, you know, particularly in a modern army and the modernization of the Australian Army at the moment. These assets are becoming far more complex and far more technical. There's a lot more of it, and certainly as we continue to make those changes, certainly within the battalion structures, the systems around managing equipment and armoured vehicles and those sorts of things require a high level of technical competence as well, and managing the personnel that support that, you know, the logistics aspects. This is far more important than it certainly was back, you know, when I joined all those years ago.
All righty, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks again, Trent. Some great insights into being a platoon commander and the leadership that is around that. Next week, we're going to talk about the mechanics of running the platoon and maybe something about being a platoon commander out in the field. Thanks very much, Trent.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for listening to the Warrior U podcast. Did you know that our parent company, Hindsight, offers leadership and resilience training as well as workshops? If you would like to know more, please head to www.hindsightleadership.com. If you would like to become a supporter of the podcast, there's a donation tab at the bottom of the main podcast page. All contributions are greatly appreciated and help to keep the show on the road. If you're interested in the Warrior U military preparation course, you can find all the information through the podcast website page. Just click on the training tab. All this information and more can be found at www.podcast.warrioru.com.au.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.